I guess that's over. So this one lady had come from China, and she won the award, and I got up to speak, and I said, I hate to burst her bubble, but I came from the most far out place of all. I came from the New Age. And unfortunately, it's pretty true. When it comes to the gospel, the New Age has a lot that makes it seem like it's true and good. It feels good. Satan comes as an angel of light. But it's really the Bible upside down. And I'll try to demonstrate that a little bit. But first, I'd like to read, if you want to open your Bibles, to Isaiah 5. Verse 1 through 4. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Unfortunately, this used to just describe the cults and those that were outside the faith. Now we have a lot of wild grapes in the faith. There's a lot going on in Christianity. And I think that, you know, the bad news is there's just a lot of deception. Jesus said when he was asked, you know, by his disciples, what will be the sign of the end and of your coming? And he said, take heed, this is Matthew 24, 3-5, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Joe asked me to give a little background. I got into the New Age movement. It wasn't a noble spiritual seeking. It was a waitress in a downtown restaurant in Chico, California, who interested me, and I asked her to come over for dinner. And in the course of the evening's conversation, she said, a friend of mine is coming into town from Canada. She's a psychic. Would you like to have a psychic reading? And I really didn't. But of course, I wanted to ingratiate myself to her, being a typical guy. And so I agreed. And I did the psychic reading, and the psychic knew all these things about me that she had no business knowing. You know, in Acts 16, the soothsayer that followed Paul and Silas around Philippi, it was a divining spirit. It was no gift. It was a divining spirit. When the divining spirit was cast out, she couldn't do her readings. They weren't making their money. They threw the men in jail, and, you know, the Philippian jailer and his whole household got saved because a psychic got put out of business. And the people who were getting the money from that were disgruntled, and you know, it's a really interesting story in the Bible. So towards the end of the reading, I'm sitting there fascinated by what she's telling me. I felt this whirling sensation over my head, and I didn't know what it was, but it was very intense, and I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. Without her saying anything to me, and without my saying anything to her, she said to me, are you aware that there's a ball of light over your head right now? And I said, I don't know what it is, but I can feel there's something up there. What is a ball of light doing over my head? She said, you have a lot of help on the other side. And I said, what's the other side? And she said, loved ones that have passed on, angels, spirits that are interested in your welfare. She said, but you need to give them permission. Think Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Well, that night, I took her advice, and on the flat roof of my little house in a canyon in Northern California, I looked up at the stars, and I said, all you on the other side, please come into my life. And I just really did a reverse sinner's prayer is what I just did. And they came. And it wasn't something that was malevolent and evil. It all felt really good. It was like the ball of light that was over my head. And got some copies of my testimony in the book room, The Light That Was Dark, From the New Age to Amazing Grace. Luke 11:35, Jesus said, take heed that the light that is in thee be not darkness. And if there's anything that I want to convey in my talk today, because we're not going to cover the whole gamut of what's coming into the church, but we're going to hit the major themes so you can be aware of them if you're not already. But this idea that God is in everyone and everything, that's the bottom line. That's in Psalm 11, 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? If they can destroy that foundational teaching, you know, Jesus is the foundation. He's the cornerstone. But if you can change that foundation, instead of Christ in those who accept him and his victory on the cross of Calvary, if you can change that around and say that Christ is in everyone already, and all you have to do is awaken to the Christ that's within. That's the whole deception that's going on right now. This is what the New Age calls the Great Awakening. They use that phrase, the Great Awakening. You leave your ego and you go to the God within, which when you think about it is the biggest ego trip in the world, to go from your ego to the God within. But this is the awakening, and this is what is coming into the church. I'm going to finish just my little testimony, and then I'm going to show how it's worked its way not only into the world but into the church. Because of my invitation, my life took off like a rocket ship. All sorts of things started happening. All sorts of things seemed to be these godly coincidences. You know, I would go to a mountaintop in Big Sur on New Year's Eve with a book by an Indian master by the name of Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, a man I'd never heard of before that New Year's Eve. And I would end up on the top of this mountain in a cabin, and on the bedstand was another book by Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. And that's the kind of thing where we would say, whoa, it's meant to be. You hear that a lot. It was meant to be. You know, somebody gave me a copy of The Shack this morning, and then my Aunt Mary called me in the afternoon and said, you got to read this book, The Shack. And you go, wow, confirmation. It was meant to be. The question is, meant to be by whom? The devil has his way of contriving circumstances, and many of us that got into the New Age were convinced that we were on this yellow brick road, but we didn't know it. We were being given all these seeming coincidences, magical kinds of happenings, things that just really lifted us up and put us in a new belief system, God in everyone. There are many details, but I think the most important set of books in terms of my deception was a set of books called A Course in Miracles. Anybody here familiar with A Course in Miracles? A few. You need to understand that the Course in Miracles is one of the most deceptive antichrist philosophies that has come into the world and into the church indirectly. Reputedly channeled from Jesus Christ himself to a woman in New York City by the name of Helen Schuchman. She was the psychologist at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, the same hospital, by the way, where Dr. Mehmet Oz does his cardiovascular surgery and occult work with Oprah Winfrey and others. Course in Miracles is reputedly channeled from Jesus Christ, and the teachings that he gave me in these three books and to the world have gone out all over the place. And what's important for you to understand is that it sounds kind of weird just to say that a woman in New York City channeled this. Oprah Winfrey, in 1992, when I was editing my book, The Light That Was Dark, warning about A Course in Miracles, Oprah Winfrey was on television with a woman by the name of Marianne Williamson, an unknown author at that time. And Oprah Winfrey endorsed Marianne Williamson's book called A Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. Oprah sent this book about The Course in Miracles into orbit. It was on the bestseller list at number one for like 35 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. So you have an antichrist teaching. It was three volumes, and they've now got it all compact in one. An antichrist teaching that occupied the number one spot on the New York Times bestseller list, and most people don't even know about it. And I'm not trying to give you a hard time, but it's like 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Folks, the church has become largely ignorant of a lot of what's come into the church, and part of it is because Christian leaders are not sounding the alarm. 1 Corinthians 14:8, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? Now, I did an update on a radio station maybe back, 2002. It was a 15-minute, 20-minute show. And at the break, the announcer said, whoa, New Age, I thought it went away. Well, we'll be back just a minute with Warren Smith. The New Age folks never went away. And it was a lot more than horoscopes and Shirley MacLaine dancing on a beach. These are antichrist teachings. I'm going to give you these teachings that I believe because I had no Bible background. I just accepted them. Why? Because a lot of circumstances made me think that God was bringing these teachings to me. Listen to these and just the severity of them. This is conditioning for a future Antichrist, a Christ who will come in the name of Christ, but who will oppose Christ, Antichrist. And if that sounds like I'm getting a little bit kind of like, you know, really exaggerating, Oprah Winfrey is perhaps the chief false prophet in the world. It's amazing. Algerian women watch her program. I've been in Barnes & Noble when people will come in the store. What was that book that Oprah just advertised on TV? And I've watched through the years as almost every major New Age teacher has had their book introduced oftentimes and made into a bestseller by Oprah's Golden Touch. Listen to these teachings supposedly from Jesus Christ. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. A slain Christ has no meaning. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. The recognition of God is the recognition of yourself, God in everyone. Is Jesus the Christ? He's asked, oh yes, along with you. See, if we're all Christ, then we're all divine, then we're all connected, we're all one, and we're back to the oneness. We heard about the oneness, Pentecostal theology. We heard about Genesis 11. Now that this people is one and they have one language, there's nothing that can be restrained from their imagination. Oneness is the name of the game. The New Age is preaching oneness. They actually, in the Course of Miracles, talk about it as the Ark of Oneness. In other words, the thing that's going to save us from all these things that are happening in the world, all these things that are impinging upon individual lives and our families and our countries, it's going to be saved by everybody acknowledging that we're all one, that we're all God, and because we're all God, it's argued, we can recreate the future. In other words, we don't have to have Armageddon. We don't have to have the Book of Revelation. We can do whatever we want. We can change the rules because, after all, hearty har har, we're God. It's unbelievable. It is so slick, and it slipped in while the church has been asleep. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. We now, as my wife pointed out, we now have wheat that's not even wheat, thanks to Monsanto. I mean, not only tares, but we've got, you know, genetically modified wheat. The atonement is this is supposedly Jesus. The atonement is the final lesson man need learn, for it teaches him that never having sinned, he has no need of salvation. All you need to do is wake up to the fact that you're God. You don't need a savior. You save yourself by recognizing that you're God. Pretty clever. Pretty neat. Pretty blasphemous. The oneness of the Creator and the creation is your wholeness, your sanity, and your limitless power. No sin, no devil, no persecution. How about this one? All forms of Antichrist oppose the Christ. In other words, if you oppose this Christ, if this Christ was ever to gain favor, and let me tell you, he is gaining daily, then you are Antichrist. Biblical, Bible-believing Christians are Antichrist by this definition. A Course in Miracles. In 1992, Oprah Winfrey had Marianne Williamson on her program, and Oprah said that the principles of A Course in Miracles can change the world. Well, they could. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The word nudge is coming in quite a bit now. With just a little nudge, if we just kind of let go of that one kind of divisive teaching that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, if you can just get that everyone's divine, everyone's one, we can all come together and we can overcome the crises in the world. We can have world peace. We can have peace and safety. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, peace and safety, then destruction comes. It's going to look good. Jeremiah 5, 30, 31, a wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. Oprah Winfrey really seems wonderful to an awful lot of people. And let me just say, she does some wonderful things. But what she's done in her spiritual life is horrible. I think she's sincere. I think when I was in the New Age, if I had a program like hers, I probably would have done whatever I could to spread the New Age gospel. But it's really dangerous what she's doing. I want to show you a clip from that show when she introduced Marianne Williamson. And you have to understand, I was doing the final editing of my book, The Light That Was Dark. I was running a homeless shelter in Northern California, and I was editing at night when I found out that it, you know, with my warning about, you know, watch out for the Course in Miracles, you know, it's like whatever microphone I'd get, which wasn't really that big. And there's Oprah Winfrey announcing that the Course in Miracles could change the world. The way she set it up on this program was that she scared viewers with all the bad things that are happening. It reminded me of the Westerns when I was a kid, and where the bad guy shoots at the good guy's feet, and he says, dance. And then he keeps him dancing until he does what the bad guy wants him to do, and then he stops shooting. Well, I think that's the devil's plan. The world is just catapulting into all sorts of different economic, social, spiritual, you name it. Everybody's feeling it. So what can we do to alleviate this? Well, if these Christians would just get off this notion that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and that he's the Savior of the world, if they would just get it, I mean, this was my attitude. If I sat next to one of you when I was in the New Age on a bus and you told me, you know, your testimony, and then you asked me, do you love Jesus? I would have said, yeah. And I would have been thinking in my head, and you're really a nice person, but you just don't quite get it. You just don't understand that you're God. This is so ingrained. I told a friend of mine that his sister thinks that she's God because I knew her background. He said, no way. I said, ask her. Next time I saw him, he said, you're right. You know, I asked her if she was God and she said, yes. We didn't think we were the God. We're divine. We're all divinely connected. Before I show the clip, I want to just give one little caveat about this. The way that the world and the way that the New Age regards those who resist believing that everyone is divine meets with this, the selection process. In other words, the only thing satanic, according to the system, is to not believe in your own divinity. Is that upside down or backwards or what? The only thing satanic is to not believe in your own divinity. And the way that I can best describe that is when I was a kid and we had Christmas tree lights, if one of those bulbs didn't work, it short-circuited the whole tree. I believe that we're on the cusp of a lot of pressure being put on Christians to go along with a worldly compromise to achieve world peace, and that each person, by their definition, is a cell in the body of God. Each person is a cell in the body of God. If we're not recognizing and firing from our divine standpoint, from their perspective, or if we're not believing that that's the case, then from their perspective, we're short-circuiting humanity. We're hindering world peace. And Jesus even warned, you know, that, you know, they're going to think they're doing God a favor by killing you someday. That's pretty heavy stuff, and I'm not trying to, you know, get sensationalistic here. This is in writing. I've got a book called False Christ Coming, Does Anybody Care? And I wrote it back in 2002, right after 9/11, when a lot of the people that I was starting to research for that book showed up on Oprah. Tom Brokaw interviewed Marianne Williamson. Good Morning America had Wayne Dyer. And they're going, our way hasn't worked. How do you like that? These New Agers are saying, our way hasn't worked. We need a new way. We need a new story. We need a new foundation. We need a new worldview. You don't hear so much about a new world religion. You hear about a new spirituality, a new worldview. I'm not into religion. I'm into spirituality. It's really common. I even hear that in the church. So I want you to just, I've given you enough of an idea of how blasphemous this is. And this is coming. This was a direct channeled voice. This woman took spiritual dictation. She wrote down these teachings. They're all couched in Christian language. A lot of scripture is in there. But a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And there's a whole lot of leaven in the Course in Miracles. So the other thing I want you to notice is, while they're showing the horrible things that are going on in the world at the beginning of this thing, before they introduce Marianne Williamson, listen for John Lennon singing Imagine. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. They flip that in there. If you don't think this is strong, subtle, incredibly deceptive stuff, this was 1992. Oprah's been doing this. As far as I know, the first show she had on the New Age that I'm aware of was 1987. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But if we could run this clip, I just want you to pay attention to what an incredible, the way she challenges her audience, the way she brings up things. And notice how she says that she bought 1,000 copies of Marianne Williamson's book. She's going to give one to everyone in the audience. So if we can run that.
Turn it up. Louder.
I want to ask you this. Are you having trouble just keeping your sanity because it looks like the world has gone just crazy? When you talk to your family and friends, do they say that they feel some of this craziness too? Two things inspired me to do this show today: the movie Grand Canyon and a new book that you're going to hear a lot about. You're going to get answers today if you want them in this hour. If you've gotten to the point of feeling that everything, your time and your safety and your children's safety and your relationships and your work have been snatched out of your control, and we are a nation of people going crazy, confused human beings, please sit down and listen. This is the way it is.
Traffic there remains very heavy getting away from the Long Beach interchange as you head out.
The toll bridge is back up right back to the toll plaza.
Kristen was abandoned this weekend, about 2 days after she was born.
I'm in here for rape one and sodomy one. I started when I was 10.
And I think we're all raising Jeffrey Dahmers.
The bullet went through a window and struck LaToya in the head.
Do you see peace? Have you ever seen peace in this country?
Because
a whole lot of people in war for peace. And peace like
you
for nobody.
You want chaos.
Hey, if I get killed,
this is one nigga gone. One nigga gone.
Her attacker was her daughter-in-law.
She wasn't only named
after
the butcher, now she's gonna kill.
The worst is yet to come.
They then burn me, they stab me, they rape me.
Who's gonna pay our bills? Who's gonna take care of us until I find another job? I have no one to rely on.
I was so blind because I was working midnight, going to school during the day.
Are you asking me a favor as a sign of respect? Or are you asking me a favor because I got the gun?
Man, the world ain't supposed to work like this. I mean, maybe you don't know that, but this ain't the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to do my job without asking you if I can. That dude is supposed to be able to wait with his car without you ripping him off. Everything's supposed to be different than what it is.
It's supposed to be, but what's gone wrong? My guest today is Marianne Williamson. Many of you know who she is because thousands of people every week, poor people and rich people and lots of celebrities, go to hear Marianne Williamson speak in Los Angeles and also in New York City. And what she talks about is based on a set of books. Many of you have heard about them, called A Course in Miracles. Marianne has become a teacher, a leader in the philosophy that I personally know could change the world. I believe that in my heart. And she has now written her own book. The book is called A Return to Love. Now, let me just say this, that every day I have guests on this show, and I'd say at least 3 out of 5 times during the week, those guests come on the show with a book. I've read many books over the years. I have never been as moved by a book as I have by Marianne Williamson's book called A Return to Love. So moved, in fact, that I went out and bought 1,000 copies. And we'll be giving you all a copy before you leave here today. But I really do believe that the message in the book, Return to Love, is what we all need so much in our lives. And that's why I cannot, if it sounds like I'm trying to hype the book, I really am, because I believe that it's so, so important. And for the first time, you can open a book and actually see some answers. So I first of all, I feel blessed that you're here.
Oh, thank you,
and
so
that
much.
You came to write the book.
Answers. A slain Christ has no meaning. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the... It's the Bible upside down. In 1976, late pastor Chuck Smith wrote a book called Antichrist Revealed. The soon-to-be-revealed Antichrist. Can we get some lights? Thank you. On the front cover of the book, it says, the stage is being set. The world and the minds of men are being conditioned for a leader, one who can establish peace and safety in these perplexing times. The Bible predicts these events and describes this man of solutions whose number is 666. 1976, the Course in Miracles was published in 1975. I found out about the Course in Miracles by reading a book by a psychiatrist, Dr. Gerald Jampolsky. His book was called Love is Letting Go of Fear. It was a little book that talked about forgiveness and unconditional love and gratitude, and it threw in some of these New Age teachings. But it resonated with me at the time because my heart wasn't right. And he said everything in his book came from A Course in Miracles. And so I went and got the Course in Miracles, and I got involved. I was in a study group for like 2 years, and I was like a New Age evangelist in my hometown with A Course in Miracles, if you can imagine. I mean, I didn't go around saying a slain Christ has no meaning. That was, I was talking about forgiveness and love, just like you didn't hear that. You didn't hear Oprah saying a slain Christ has no meaning. It's in there. The teachings pervade that whole set of teachings. So Gerald Jampolsky, lo and behold, shows up on Robert Shuler's Hour of Power in the early 1980s. And excuse me, what is the one of the evangelists of the New Age Course in Miracles doing on Robert Shuler? When I wrote my book, Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church, it came out in August of 2004. In October of 2004, Robert Shuler had Gerald Jampolsky back on his program. It was like in your face. You know what the response was from the church? Zero. I remember a man once, a convert from the Islam faith, he said, you know what the church's attitude was on this? He was like 6'6 and like 280. He lay down on the stage and started snoring. I mean, it was like, it's not funny, but it's sad. I mean, there's very little warning going out. Somehow or another, all this stuff has just slipped on by. And I would suggest that there's a reason for that. I mean, that there are a lot of people that are in place in leadership because they're going to just kind of not cause any waves. They're not going to do anything to rock their church. They're not going to do anything to alienate, you know, any of their fellow pastors or whatever. I mean, the only person that I've ever really heard publicly take the Course in Miracles on was Ben Kinchlow on the 700 Club, and that was because he was interviewing me. But he sat there and he held the Course in Miracles in his hands. He said, "People, I can feel this book is evil. It is. This is a bad book." But yet, everything is tied in to this idea, this foundational teaching that God is in everyone and everything. If you understand that, then you'll see how it sneaks in just about everywhere. I'm just going to go through a list of the way that it's come in over the years. Norman Vincent Peale in The Power of Positive Thinking on page 40, God is in you. Okay, let me clarify. If you're a believer, you know, the Holy Spirit is sent to you as a believer. In that sense, Christ is in you, God is in you. But this is a book written to, you know, it was a million-selling book. God is in you, he's telling every reader who reads his book. The Aquarian Conspiracy was a book written in 1980. The title was taken from Jesuit leader Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who was defrocked by the Catholic Church. His books were banned because he said that God was in every atom. He was a paleontologist. He's also the father of the New Age movement. Teilhard de Chardin. He's now being quoted by Christian leaders like Leonard Sweet, who's saying that Chardin was 20th century Christianity's major voice. If you haven't heard of Leonard Sweet, he's been actually going around to the leadership of almost every major denomination at the highest levels, preaching, teaching, bringing in his version of Christianity, but he always is sure to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and to quote John 14:6 or whatever else he needs to do. However, in a book that Leonard Sweet wrote called Soul Tsunami, in 1999, front cover endorsement Rick Warren, Leonard Sweet says this. He says, to survive in the postmodern culture, one must learn to speak out of both sides of your mouth. That's what we're dealing with here. When I was a kid, you know, the Lone Ranger was the Western, and, you know, Tonto would say, Kemosabe, me think he speak with forked tongue. Don't be surprised. You know, oh, I heard Rick Warren say that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. Well, I saw him endorse Leonard Sweet's book. I saw Rick Warren introduce hope and purpose by quoting Bernie Siegel, a New Age doctor with a spirit guide named George. Why would he do that? Well, the answer from Saddleback when asked that question by people calling in was, you know, all truth is God's truth. You know, just because he's a New Age doctor doesn't mean that he can't say something that's true. Really? Really? So Rick Warren chose Bernie Siegel, a guy with a spirit guide named George, to introduce hope and purpose. Later in the book, he said that Jesus said that the details of my return are none of your business. Hey, guess what? I got saved because I recognized how this was wrong. That when Jesus said, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, he's talking about the Christ of A Course in Miracles. He's talking about the Christ of the New Age. And he's talking about the Christ of Jesus calling that's trying to work its way into the church. I was a little surprised that nobody here seemed to know the book Jesus Calling. I'll be talking about it tomorrow. It's the number one best-selling Christian book. It's sold over 11 million copies. They've got all sorts of spin-off books for kids and everything else. You need to know about this book. I brought quite a few. I really recommend that you understand this book because didn't anybody in this room, hasn't somebody tried to give you a copy of Jesus Calling? Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's just, this book's being passed around by the dozens. Now, you've got a godly church here, but part of your responsibility is to know what's going on out there in the church and in the world. Why? Because it's a great way to witness to people and to warn people that are falling. These, you know, there was an article in the local paper by a park ranger. He said a lot of people get lost in Yosemite. He said what happens is they take one step off the trail. And he said that next step is the most important step. Is it a step back on the trail or further off the trail? If you've got, you know, a grandmother or anybody that you know that's reading that book, you really want to get up to date on what's wrong with that book. And I'll try to, you know, summarize that as best I can tomorrow. But the Jesus of Jesus Calling says that I am above all as well as in all. In The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren quotes one of the 15 Bibles that he quotes, The Message being his predominant Bible, if you can believe that. He quotes from the New Century Version Bible. It says, God rules everything, is everywhere, and is in everything. There it is again. David Spangler, probably one of the biggest leaders in the New Age movement, the shaman of the New Age. He says, there's nothing new about saying, I am God. However, in the Judeo-Christian Muslim world, God is usually not popularly understood as a universal presence, the ground of all being. The Shacks Jesus on page 112 says, God who is the ground of all being, thank you, David Spangler, dwells in and around and through all things. Alice Bailey, the matriarch of the New Age, says a fresh orientation to the acceptance of the fact of God transcendent out there and God immanent within all forms of life. These are the foundational truths upon which the world religion of the future will exist. Robert Shuler on November 9, 2003 said God is both transcendent and immanent, which is exactly what Alice Bailey just said. It's also what Benjamin Krem said. Benjamin Krem is John the Baptist type for Maitreya. How many know have heard of Maitreya? Maitreya has been present on this earth, he says, since like 1982. He says that he is Christ. He is here awaiting humanity to call him forth. Everybody knew this back in the 80s and the early 90s. And now it's just, but he's been on, you know, late night, Benjamin Krem's been on late night radio, coast to coast. We have another false Christ that's just sitting there. He's at least a prototype for the coming false Christ. So Robert Shuler says, yes, God is alive and he is in every single human being. And he's also reiterating the very words that the New Agers are saying about transcendent and immanent in everything, every form of life. So Robert Shuler had Gerald Jampolsky on his program. And oh, Robert Shuler was Rick Warren's mentor. Oh, and he's also the mentor for how many thousands of pastors? I live in the mountains. There was a mama cat that had not been fixed. And by the time we finally got her fixed, it was too late. There were just cats all over the place. This is exactly, Robert Shuler has been such an influence. And yes, Dave Hunt and others exposed his false teachings, but he was going strong until just a few years ago. And he's got his grandson still putting the Hour of Power on TV. That went out to Russia, went out to Muslim countries. Robert Shuler, yes, God is alive, and he's in every single human being. Brother Lawrence, who's quoted a lot in terms of, you know, this idea of practicing the presence. Brother Lawrence said he is at the very, talking about God, he is at the very depth and center of your soul. We must unfeignedly believe that God is in fact within our souls. The 1994 Catholic Catechism, number 795, let us rejoice then and give thanks that we become not only Christians, but Christ himself. Do you understand and grasp, brethren, God's grace toward us? Marvel and rejoice, we have become Christ. Number 460, for the Son of God became man so that we might become God. And number 460, again, the only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he made man might make us gods. Shirley MacLaine, I think everybody sort of knows that one. Maybe the younger people don't. She was in a movie that was on TV. It was sort of breaking the new age in on a mass level. She's on a beach and she's sort of dancing around and saying, I am God, I am God. David Letterman and late night talk show people made mincemeat of her, but meanwhile, the word was out. And now where we had the Aquarian conspiracy announcing in 1980, here we come, ready or not, we have a great heretical idea, God within. Now we have a book just a few years ago that was published called Occult America. It talks about the mystical underpinnings of this country. And it says, we have arrived. We are now an occult nation. There's a front page endorsement by Ken Burns. If you're watching any of that, he's got the Roosevelts on TV now. He's done baseball, jazz. He's done everything. You know, look for one of the documentaries by Ken Burns in the future to be the mystical underpinnings of America, occult America. I'll see if I can find that exact quote by the time maybe I can get it here. But it's pretty, I mean, basically front page endorsement, just saying that we're living in a time where, you know, this is what's happening, and it's amazing, these mystical underpinnings to this country. And they have a picture of the dollar bill with the new order of the ages and stuff. Chicken soup for the soul. Does anybody remember the very beginning of the chicken soup for the soul? There's a quote from Teilhard de Chardin, the father of the New Age movement. Let me just give you a couple quotes from Chardin. Chardin said, a religion of the future cannot fail to appear before long, a new mysticism, the germ of which must be recognizable somewhere in our environment here and now. The cross still stands, but this is on one condition and one only, that it expand itself to the dimensions of a new age. What I'm proposing to do is to narrow the gap between pantheism and Christianity by bringing out what one might call the Christian soul of pantheism, or the pantheistic aspect of Christianity. He says, I can be saved only by becoming one with the universe. I believe that the Messiah whom we await, whom we all without any doubt wait, is the universal Christ, that is to say, the Christ of evolution. Remember Leonard Sweet. Chardin is 20th century Christianity's major voice. Sweet is talking at the highest levels of most denominations. He's in conferences all around the country. He's hooked up with a lot of the Christian leaders. Let me give you an example of his speaking out of both sides of your mouth. He has a book called Aqua Church. It's also published in 1999. Now, wait a second, Warren. I'm looking at page 39, and he quotes from a hymn. Listen to what he says. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Four lines later, he quotes from Teilhard de Chardin. Listen carefully, because this is the attitude of many of our Christian leaders. They have the same attitude that I had when I was in the New Age. They're one step ahead of the church. There's this thing that can happen. There's this foundational nudge, this foundational switch that can happen. It can turn everything into a way of universal oneness. Listen to this quote in Leonard Sweet's book. And it's Chardin that he's quoting. Christ is in the church in the same way as the sun is before our eyes. We see the same sun as our fathers saw, and yet we understand it in a much more magnificent way. We're being humored by some Christian leaders that have a whole other agenda. Leonard Sweet is not only a wolf in sheep's clothing, as far as I'm concerned, he's a wolf in wolf's clothing. This man is aligned with the father of the New Age movement, and everything that Chardin and the New Age is preaching is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ and is everything that the true Jesus Christ warned about. We have a pastor outside of Nashville, Tennessee. His son tragically died in a car accident just a few years ago. This pastor, who is one of the main endorsees of the Shack, said that his deceased son is now communicating with him, his wife, and his church, and others across the country. The book is endorsed by James Robeson, Paul Young, the author of the Shack, Greg Laurie, Harvest Crusade pastor, who's fairly well known, and Chuck Missler. Chuck Missler said when confronted that he and his wife really hadn't finished reading the book. He never really even exposed the book. He just sort of worked his way out of it. We're talking Deuteronomy 18. We're talking Lazarus and the rich man. You know, when the rich man said, you know, can you send somebody to tell my relatives? He said you had Moses and the prophets, you know, and they wouldn't believe it if one rose from the dead. It's necromancy. I don't care how you define it. When I went on Rick Warren's website, when I heard that he had joined forces with three New Age doctors, I got some of these booklets. I don't know if there's still some. The Dangers of Rick Warren's Daniel Plan. Rick Warren said he wanted the church to be more healthy. So to make the church more healthy, he brought in three New Age doctors, chief one being Dr. Mehmet Oz. And I knew Dr. Oz. He said that he matriculated at Oprah U. He's into past lives. He's into transcendental meditation. He's into yoga. He's into Reiki. He's endorsed books by psychics. He's into Swedenborgian New Age religion, and on and on. So I went to Rick Warren's website when I heard this, and I saw an interview that he did with Dr. Oz. And then it had a link from Rick Warren's website to Dr. Oz's website. So I went and I clicked that thing and I went right over to Dr. Oz's website from Rick Warren's page, which just about anybody probably would do. And lo and behold, the first thing I see is New York City, want to talk to the dead? And I went, what? They had a program coming on the next Tuesday with John Edward, and he was going to be talking about or helping to involve people in the audience in communicating with their dead loved ones. So this is pretty typical. As soon as we got that out there, the link disappeared from Rick Warren's website. Nothing said. We've watched this time and time again. You do some kind of a link, some kind of an expose, and then boom, you know, it's gone. The author of The Shack, Paul Young. A lot of people go, well, don't get excited. It's just a novel. Well, we found a website called Christian Universalism. And the woman said, we had Paul Young, the author of The Shack, to our house for a study on his book. And what he said was, what is taught in that book are real conversations, the fruit of real conversations that he had with God. He just put it in a fictional context. As soon as we put that out there, boom, Christian Universalism's gone. It's a slick thing that's going on out there. It's very, very devious and dark and intense. You don't have to go doing what a lot of us do, which is to kind of keep track of at least the major stuff. But you need to know the basics. Because you've got family members you might not even be aware of that are falling into this stuff. The drum roll is on for a false revival. It's being called revival, but guess who's involved in this revival? Rodney Howard Brown, the Holy Ghost bartender that brought us holy laughter at the Toronto Blessing. He anointed Randy Clark. Randy Clark went to Toronto for 4 days, and it turned into this 20-year holy laughter revival. These guys are talking about the revival that is coming on, and they're referring back to the Toronto Blessing as one of the major revivals of our modern America. Come on. You can Google an article called Holy Laughter or Strong Delusion, my name, and Spiritual Research Network, and you'll come up with an article where, when this happened back in 1994, I looked in the Bible to see, okay, Is there any justification for this laughing revival? And there was none. Woe unto you who laugh now, for you shall mourn. You know, I mean, it's like scripture after, does God not have a sense of humor? Does Jesus not have a sense of humor? Of course. I'm sure they had some laughs. But not in the end days with Oprah teaching that a slain Christ has no meaning and the church sitting back not really knowing what's going on. The voices of the discernment folks are being muted. We're being called discernment bullies. Like if we dare to bring up some of the things I've talked about, we're being called discernment bullies. I actually did a little article on it, and I said, if you sound the alarm, Joel 2:1, you're an alarmist. If you warn about wild grapes, Isaiah 5:2, you're sour grapes. If you hate evil, Proverbs 8:13, and try to expose it, you're a hater. If you try to warn about heresy, 1 Corinthians 11:19, you're a heresy hunter. If you critique false teachings, Ephesians 5:11, you have a critical spirit. If you name names, 2 Timothy 4:14, you're a name caller. If you exercise righteous judgment, John 7:24, you're judgmental. If you think Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6, you're exclusivistic. That's the term used for you were exclusivistic instead of inclusive. If you mark them which cause divisions contrary to doctrine, you're divisive. If you contend for the faith, Jude 3, you're contentious. Everything's being turned upside down, and kind of, I don't know how many of you feel it, but persecution's moving in. I mean, other countries have felt it, but it's moving in. If you don't go with this, the other thing that's really being impressed upon a lot of believers is that they need to hear the voice of God. They need to hear the voice of Jesus. Have you heard the voice of Jesus lately? You haven't? Have you been reading your Bible? Are you involved in some kind of sin? It's like Bill Hybels wrote a book called Whisper, hearing the voice of God and having the guts to respond. That's intimidation. Beth Moore said that if you don't hear the voice of God in the marrow of your bones, then you just really can't know God. Hello. She also said recently, I'm sorry if I'm stepping on anybody's toes, but we have to watch. Just because somebody's a Bible teacher or is doing some kind of legitimate Bible teaching, if you continue in my word, John 8:31, then you're my disciples indeed. What's happening is a lot of people who establish themselves as Bible teachers are now veering off the narrow way, and they're going into this Broadway deception. Beth Moore saying that she's been told by God that revival's coming, and that if you hear anyone saying contrary to that, they're one of the scoffers that the Bible warns about. Turn to the person on your left and say, the scoffers are coming, she says in this video. So let me see if I get this right. If we don't go with the word that these leaders are getting about whatever's happening, then we're going against God? No. Paul was very clear in Acts 17:11 that, and the Bereans were commended for searching the scriptures to see if these things are so. You know, my guess is that if Paul was saying that he thinks revival is coming, you say, but you pray to God, you search the scriptures, you test the spirits. We're not hearing anything about testing the spirits. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits calling themselves Jesus Christ. Seducing spirits pretending to be a pastor's deceased son. In that book that this pastor wrote called Have Heart, Bridging Heaven and Earth, Bridging the Gulf Between Heaven and Earth, his assistant pastor is quoted as saying that he was in church singing a hymn when Josiah, the son, showed up right there in his t-shirt in the spirit, but he could see him clearly, and he had a conversation with Josiah, and Josiah then left. This man went, this assistant minister went and told his wife, Josiah was just here. The visiting music woman who was doing the worship that day, when told about this, she said, oh yeah, before we started the worship tonight, I prayed that Josiah could come and worship with us. Folks, heaven is being supposedly brought down to earth. There's a book called The Physics of Heaven that's coming out of Bethel Church up there. Larry DeBrine will probably talk about this. He's written a couple of great articles on this book, you know, on Heriscope and on Guarding His Flock, which is guardinghisflock.org? .com. Here's the bottom line. 1 Timothy 6:19 to 21 talks about those who err concerning the faith by calling it science, falsely so called. I'm really, you know, ad-libbing that scripture. You can look at it, but it talks about the warning of falsely proclaiming science to prove something. quantum physics is being used, folks. I've got it in a wonderful deception. I got 3 or 4 chapters. Leonard Sweet, surprise, 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 as Gomer Pyle used to say. He's got a book called Quantum Spirituality that was written in 1991. And he talks about some of the people that I studied in the New Age as his role models and his heroes. What is this man doing in the church? Talk about a lion prowling around, roaring in the church. This is absolutely everything that we were warned would happen. So with all that bad news, what's the good news? Well, the good news is the gospel. And the good news is that we were told about this ahead of time so that we're aware of it. It doesn't mean that our life's going to be easy. I don't read anywhere in the Bible. My wife and I came into the faith with spiritual warfare. This isn't the time or the place. Maybe I'll do a little bit of my testimony tomorrow, but everything was going really good in the New Age, we thought. Everything was smooth, and then all of a sudden we had to deal with something that felt like darkness. But in the New Age, there's no darkness. There's no evil. It's just your own fears projected out there. It's like a metaphysical mirror. So you go inside yourself to fix whatever's wrong. Guess what? It didn't work. The long and the short of it is that we were getting spiritually oppressed and attacked, and we didn't know what to do about it. It's down in Southern California, Christmas time, 30 years ago. I was in a bookstore. I was in the New Age section, and I pulled down a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. How many have heard of that book? Okay. Woman who was, she had accepted Christ in college, but she didn't know the Bible, and she ended up with a psychic healer in Mexico City doing metaphysical New Age healings with people, with a spirit guide. So I pulled the book down because the title intrigued me, because it seemed evil what we were dealing with. And I'm reading her story, which parallels a lot of our stuff. Then all of a sudden, she says that this spirit guide, suddenly one day, it felt kind of malevolent. And I went, yeah, okay, I'm tracking. And then just as she starts to introduce scripture, a homeless mentally ill guy that was on the street came into the bookstore over to where I was reading the book and started screaming at me, are you going to buy that book or what are you doing with that book? And I just sat there and I went, because I was on the floor taking notes. Why was I taking notes? Why didn't I just buy the book? Because I was a proud New Ager and I wasn't going to buy a Christian book. We're hardcore. So I worked with the homeless and I got them out of there. And I wrote down this most amazing solution to dealing with an evil presence. And the next day when this presence was particularly around my wife, just sort of around, we used to say, are you getting tweaked? I would say. I said, don't be afraid, I want to try something. And going in her mom's backyard, I addressed the presence and I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I forbid your presence here. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ. I claim the victory of Jesus Christ. Go to where Jesus takes you. And it was like, whoosh, it was like gone. And Joyce says to me, she says, what was that? And I said, I'm not completely sure, but it has something to do with Jesus' victory on the cross of Calvary and the defeat of Satan. It was like I could hardly get the word out of my mouth. But yet I knew somehow that what Johanna Michelson had said was true. How can I do that as an unbelieving person? The only explanation I have, two, one would be the Ethiopian eunuch reading the book of Isaiah, not understanding it. Philip was sent alongside. He believed and was baptized on the spot. The other thing is, and I was thinking about the talk that Dr. Downing gave on with Paul, on Mars Hill, the Areopagus. Think about this. Senior year in college, I was in a Greek fraternity. And we were told we were going to go out drinking. My roommates and I were going to go out drinking. And we were told we had a mandatory house meeting and we had to be there. And we said, what do you mean? It's a weeknight. What do we got? They said, Campus Crusade for Christ is coming in. We said, oh, great. We're really going to go to that. And they said, you are. So we did. 3 guys come in. The first 2 guys were just going, yeah, yeah, sure, sure. The third guy, I don't remember anything that he said, except at the end, he said, what have you got to lose by asking Jesus Christ into your life tonight? And I just kind of went, it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't anything probably that he said, obviously. And I just went, I've got nothing to lose. And that night, I said, Jesus, if you're really out there, come into my life. I believe in my heart that he committed himself to me. I wasn't saved. I didn't repent. I didn't understand anything really that was said, except that there was a real Jesus, and he was out there, and I could call upon him, and I did. After we got saved, we were trying to do the description of what happened to us to our friends. we have one or two people that came to the Lord, but we were just amazed. I mean, after all that stuff we just told you and all these things and deception and the Bible and no, thanks for sharing, you know, appreciate you. You know, and that was pretty much it. So I'm on my way to work. It's like, Lord, how did we get out of the New Age? What was brought to my mind was that I had asked him into my life in that fraternity house, in that Greek fraternity house that night, and it was a rowdy house. And I'd gone to the edge of the cliff, I almost went to India, but I never worshiped the guru. I never became the channeler. I never quite went all the way. I believe the Lord, like a parent with a tether, was just pulling back and allowed me to see all this and hopefully to reuse it someday, you know, to do what I'm doing here, to warn people, because this stuff, it's real obvious. There's no big trick to me seeing this stuff. It's just I knew it because I did it. I was there. So I was at a conference, and I'll just close with this. I was at a conference maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and the pastor was reading from the book of Jeremiah. And then all of a sudden, he just looked up at the whole congregation, and he said, I love the Bible. I love it. And I just sat there, and I went, yeah, me too. You know, and it was just like, it's just wonderful. And he was reading some pretty tough stuff from Jeremiah. Well, the Bible tells us everything we need to know, not only to get saved and to hang on to our faith, but to, you know, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, he said, it's a shame we have to talk about these things, but what? But we must. We have to bring these things of darkness into the light. That's why tomorrow I'll be talking about the book Jesus Calling, because it's deceiving so many Christians. Folks, we now have a false Christ in the church. The Course in Miracles Christ, you know, made it into Schuller's hour of power and out to all those people, but this one is in the church. People are listening to a voice now calling itself Jesus. They're not testing the spirits. They want what Sarah Young got in her devotions. And when you hear some of the things that are coming from this Jesus, you'll just be appalled. So let me just close with this. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Don't be impressed with any man, any teacher, except to the extent that they are following and heeding God's word. Be careful, just because someone's established. This would be a great ruse, and I see it happening, where somebody gets established as a Bible teacher and then goes off, and everybody goes, well, you know, Greg Laurie is a great Bible teacher. You know, I hear him on the radio all the time. Well, excuse me, what's he doing endorsing a book where a deceased son is communicating with his family? You need to question that. You can't just excuse it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I was in Northfield, Minnesota a number of years back, and I took a tour of the great Northfield Bank where Jesse James and his gang did their aborted holdup. It didn't work. What happened was two of the James gang came into the bank. They were deterred by one of the tellers there, Joseph Haywood. The vault was actually open. I mean, it was closed, but it was open. They could have just walked right in. But the teller, Joseph Haywood, got in the way. He got hit over the head with the butt of a gun. And then all of a sudden, other James gang's members were yelling from the outside and saying, get out of there, get out, we gotta go. So they started to leave because they didn't have time to rob the bank, and they shot Joseph Haywood in the head. 1,000 people showed up at his funeral. This was a man who hardly anybody knew. The pastor that gave the eulogy said, this is a Christian man, quietly doing his job. But when the chips were down, he stood his ground. He stood his ground. And then he used a phrase that I'll never forget. He said he was unflinchingly steadfast. We have to be unflinchingly steadfast in our faith, in our standing against this deception that's moving in so rapidly into the church. And with all the pressure in all the different areas of our lives, it could be easy to say, well, can't we just compromise a little bit? Yeah, just a little bit. And that's the key. God is not in each and every person. Psalm 39:5, at least in the King James, says, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Christ self, God self, true self, higher self, whatever, vanity. Jesus said in John 2:24-25, He said that he did not, or it says that he did not commit himself to man because he knew what was in man. Now, would he say that if he was in man or if God was in man? So be alert, be watchful, be vigilant. Watch out for revivals that may not be revivals. That doesn't mean we can't have many revivals. It doesn't mean that we can't have big revivals if they're based in the Word of God. But watch out for the false revival, because in the New Age, the teachers that are very prominent are talking about a coming day of planetary Pentecost, an alternative to Armageddon, a global awakening. That is the same language that's being used in the church. The Wayward Bethel Church in Redding, California, is lined up with the president of the Assemblies of God. They're talking about a second Pentecost. You got the planetary Pentecost. You got the second Pentecost. You got the world. You got the church. You got the world. They're coming like this. They're starting to interface. And then you can almost hear John Lennon singing, "When the World Will Be as One," in the background. It's all happening very quickly. Is this it? Is this the end? I don't know, but I'll tell you what. It's pretty serious and it's pretty severe. And we better be watchful. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share with this group of people. I pray that what I've shared will be taken in the spirit that I believe that I gave it, which is just one of sober warning. We're not trying to put anybody down, but at the same time, we're supposed to call out false teachings and false teachers, and hopefully we've done that, at least to some extent. I pray you'd bless each person here. They'd be able to hold on to all the teachings that are going on here. And I just thank you for being here. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.